हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So, Sri Paramatma Sandarbha, Adhyayana 1, Adhikarna 3, Description of the Guna Avataras, page 40. Okay. Okay, so now then, all these verses that were given before, now they're all summarized. And then, since the excellence of Narayana is established in Pancharatra, how much more excellent is the form of Krishna described in Bhagavatam, which is taught uniquely many times in verses like Atmaramas Chamuneyoho. Munu. Huh? Munu? Huh?
It's not yet open.
I see. Waiting. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.10. Munu? Munu Yaha. Shortage of O's. According to what has been said, Shiva is not supreme among Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. The Shaiva scriptures equate Bhagavan and the Purushottama avatars with Shiva, in order to glorify the Lord. When the question arose concerning the positions three guna avatars in Bhagavatam, the crest jewel of all scriptures, Shiva is shown to be different from the Lord and Purusha avatars. Verses like the following occur. Even Brahma and others observe the rules created by Shiva. He is the cause of this universe, and Maya is dependent upon him. Following his order, his conduct as a ghost is surprising. This great Lord is only appearing to be like a ghost. It should be understood here that Shiva is equated with the Lord because he is a guna avatar. But there is the following statement as well in the 8th canto describing Shiva as supreme. O protector of mountains, Shiva, your supreme light known as Brahman, which is devoid of rajas, tamas, and sattva, and devoid of distinctions, is not known by the devatas, Vishnu or Indra. Srimad Bhagavatam 8.7.31. But Shiva is not supreme. Such statements are made according to Vedic reasoning that the devatas should increase in strength by praising them with greatness. This phrase is given so that Shiva will destroy the Kalakuta poison. Shiva says, Prite harau bhagavati priye hum sachara chara. When the Lord is pleased, I, Shiva, am also pleased, along with all other living creatures. Srimad Bhagavatam 8.7.40. In the 9th canto and 5th canto, Shiva states the position of Vishnu. My dear son, we cannot compete with the Supreme Lord within whom the thousands of universes in which we wander in bewilderment arise and are destroyed with time. Srimad Bhagavatam 9.4.56. All of us, Mahatattva, the devas, the elements and senses, are like birds tied by a thread. Or another meaning of Srimad Bhagavatam 8.7.31 is this. The light of Shiva is the consciousness known as Paramatma. Even the Lord cannot completely know that, for it is said, because you are unlimited, neither the lords of heaven nor even you yourself can ever reach the end of your glories. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.41. According to Brahma Samhita, Sadashiva is a particular limb of the Lord and nothing else. And speaking of Govinda, the cause of all causes, it is said, Rama, under the control of the Lord, is self-manifesting and dear to the Lord. The Lord's eternal form, called Shambhu, whose body is consciousness, is represented figuratively by the lingam. This powerful Purusha assumes an indistinct form, is actually the Supreme Lord, having appeared with an indistinct form. Mahavishnu then appeared with a distinct form as the master of all living entities in the universe. Understanding this distinction, identifying Shiva with this form is criticized. Who can be called by the name Bhagavan except Mukunda, whose toenail water purifies the universe along with Shiva and becomes Argya for Brahma? Srimad Bhagavatam 1.18.21 Udriti. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elucidates in Maturi Kadambini as follows. It is important to note, It is important to note that many Puranas propound the theory of Lord Vishnu and Lord Brahma being one. The analogy of the sun and the precious gem Suryakantamani will help us to understand this oneness. In a sense, the sun and the reflected glory of the sun in the gem are the same. In some Mahakalpas or millenniums, the Supreme Lord empowers certain jivas to take up the position of Lord Shiva or Lord Brahma, just as the jewel is dependent upon the sun for its glory. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are dependent on the Supreme Lord for theirs. This point has been confirmed in the Hari Bhakti Vilas 173. Yastu Narayanam Devam Brahma Rudradi Daivatahi. Samatvenaiva Vikshetam Sapashanti Bhavet Dhruvam. The scriptures also state that if a person, after considering all these facts, admittedly equates Lord Vishnu with demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, and so on, he is condemned as an atheist and an offender. The basis of the scriptural injunction lies in the fact that whilst Lord Brahma is generally an empowered jiva, Lord Shiva at times is also an empowered jiva. Persons who have not reached the research deeply into this subject matter end up forming their own speculative ideas. They make such comments as Lord Vishnu is God and not Lord Shiva, or Lord Shiva is the Supreme, not Lord Vishnu. They continue to say, we are undeviating devotees of Lord Vishnu. We do not care for Lord Shiva. And vice versa. Hence their inclination to polemics leads them to commit offenses. Now the only way we can mitigate their offenses is to meet a devotee well versed in this topic, who is willing to instruct them properly. The confused can become enlightened about everyone's real position, including in which way Lord Shiva and Lord Vishnu are qualitatively non-different. Such persons begin to repent of having committed such offenses and sincerely take up chanting the Lord's holy name. In fact, it is this chanting that finally exonerates such people from their offense. Some say that these sections of the Vedas do not carry the slightest mention about the science of devotional service, so they are fit to be praised and appreciated only by mundane scholars. Those who lash out with such caustic criticism against those parts of the Vedas that propound the process of empiric knowledge and fruit of action will have to appease with reconciliatory praises those who follow such sections. Additionally, the offenders must chant the holy name to absolve the fourth nama-parad, blaspheming the Vedic scriptures and its corollaries. One may ask, why not indeed criticize those sections emphasizing, empirical knowledge and fruit of action? Or which emphasize like that? The answer is, because the scriptures are most merciful. By some unexpected good fortune, if an offensive person meets a devotee who is knowledgeable about the Vedas, he will receive proper instructions on Vedic understanding. If the offender sincerely understands these instructions, then he will truly appreciate the Vedas. Out of compassion for persons who are unfit for devotional service, those who are duplicitous in action and totally absorbed in mundane matters. The Vedas inspire them to become resolute in following its divine edicts, thus helping to uplift them. The Vedas benevolently draw these erring souls away from the pravritti marg, the path of worldly mindedness, and towards the nivritti marg, the path of detachment. Without having the realization that the Vedas are benevolent, and without possessing a differential mood towards the Shruti, one's offenses cannot be mitigated. Thus we have discussed the prime cause of offense, as well as how to absolve them. Madhurya Kanamini 3, the third shower of nectar. So this must be on, yeah, not to blasphemy the Vedic literature. So Sutta spoke thus the verse. So when they're pointing out that they're different and non-different, that has to be accepted. So if you take too much the difference or too much the non-difference, then it's a misunderstanding. Right? So the point being made, the example is given of the Suryakanta gem, so the sun is reflected in that gem. So therefore it represents the sun. It's non-different from the sun. Same time as we see so qualitatively, but quantitatively there's always going to be that difference. And so also is because they carry out the functions of the Lord. It means, in other words, the Lord does everything himself, right? But he does that by expanding through his energies, through his expansions. And this way things get done. So he's doing it through his agents, right? So just like, let us say you have a man running a very large company and he has some supervisors and that. And so he gives them different tasks. They're his tasks that he would do himself. But if you're doing something in a grand way, then you get more done by having more people involved. And so then, in this way, there may be so many supervisors, each doing some particular, unique work. And so now, to say that the person who owns the company is not doing the work, that's wrong, because it's by his arrangement and his potency that it's happening. Right? But at the same time, to say that the supervisor is not doing the work, only the company guy, the supervisor, doesn't matter. But he's working for him. So that's the point, is that they're same, but they're different. So that way, then everything is connected to the Lord. Right? Same way even... Something on this? No. Same way even on the Vedas, that if the idea is to uplift everybody to bring them closer to Krishna, you're going to be brought closer to Krishna through the process of nivritti. Right? Because that's going to be detached from the material world with a higher purpose. And so then the Vedas then present these things for people who are too materially attached, that they're not interested in anything of a higher nature. And so this way, because of their attachment, then they will take up a work thinking that they'll get something better. But in that, you see, the life is regulated, it's brought in line with the Vedic version, and slowly, slowly, they're brought towards detachment. So even someone follows karma, how does the process go? How do they begin life? Attached, detached. Right? It means, what's the first ashram? Right, so they have to be detached. Then they can get married. Then there's vanaprastha. Then sannyas. So you see, it's tending towards yes.
Right. For example, if we take that anything can uplift the person if it's connected somehow or other.
Yes.
We know those saptahas and everything.
Right.
For example, a person who's innocent, if he listens to that, would it be to his advantage or disadvantage?
It's what we're looking at is a disadvantage because it entangles them in the material world. Right? Advantages, at least they're listening to, something from the Veda and following the process. And so as long as there's nothing, then okay, that's better. But as soon as you have the pure devotees coming, then better that they listen there than at these other places. That's the whole thing. So when we're talking about, milk touched by the lips of serpents, because they're dealing with the Lord, but then presenting a mundane aspect. So they're following these things, and that's the most they can do. So the smartas and this, that's what they're going to do. They're going to talk about these things with an improper understanding. But at least they accept, so then you could discuss, you know, the proper understanding and everything. Does that make sense? You know, so therefore, that you have to have guru, you're studying the scriptures, there's going to be some variety of regulation in the way of your sadhana, you know, your lifestyle, your eating habits, you know, what you do for work or not, or these things. And so they accept all that. Now it's just a matter of bona fide guru, you know, the proper understanding of the scriptures. Right? And so that will then adjust their life to be focused on Krishna. And so for them, our lifestyle is not at all difficult from anybody from a smarta background. I mean, literally. It means they've lived their whole life like that. Their parents are like that. Their grandparents, their great-grandparents. So everybody they know is like that. So the idea of getting up, going to Mangalarti, taking your bath, going to Mangalarti, doing some puja, studying scriptures, having a guru, getting initiated, you know, regulating your life and all that, being vegetarian. That for them, that's they already are doing that. It's just that they're not doing it connected to Krishna. And so when this is added, then when it's corrected, then it becomes good. So the point being made is that if we see that the scriptures are being merciful, because we look at it, okay, this is good, that's bad. But it means, is it favorable for devotional service? It may not be. But it doesn't mean that it's bad, because it's favorable for those who aren't devotees, you know, rather than being gross materialists. Like that. But that's for the scriptures to deal with, and that's for us. For us, you know, just worry about getting our own life together. You know? You know, because otherwise, you know, we discussed the other day is that, you know, some bring up the point of that, oh, but we can elevate them to goodness and all that. But unless you're situated in goodness and that's your lifestyle and all that, then, you know, how is doing 20 minutes of yoga elevating them, you know, to goodness? You know what I'm saying? Because they're doing it because of passion. So you could say, okay, yes, you know, instead of ignorance, they're doing passion. So yes. So we're elevating people to passion. You know, so in the future they could be elevated to goodness, and then from there, then maybe they would be inclined towards devotional service, like that. You know, but then we also have to see that we're nicely situated in passion so that we can, you know, give the proper association. So the difficulty comes is that for us, then, as someone with Shraddha, why would you do that? The Vedas are already doing that. You know, our business is to present pure devotional service. Those who take it, then they come forward. Those who don't, yeah, they'll be happy with the mode of passion. It's not our business. That's someone else's business. So that's why Krishna says, do your own job, then someone else's. Does that make sense? You know, because otherwise it's not the mission. The mission of Lord Chaitanya is not to bring people to passion and goodness. I mean, they'll say, oh no, it's goodness. No, but as we read before, when you're following the Vedic rules for the benefits, that's passion. And following with detachment because you're supposed to, that's goodness. So if they won't preach devotional service, they're not going to preach that either. Right? Because that's not their background. Those from that background, they can preach that very comfortably and not devotional service. But here, our only connection is devotional service. Otherwise, mode of goodness is basically a fleeting, you know. You know, it's like a small, occasional sprinkle of, you know, something on top, you know. So yeah. So we have to be able to accommodate that these things are there, and it's the Lord's plan, but at the same time is that, who are we? What's our business? And so we do our business. Does that make sense? And so that's there. Means you can be presenting these things and then give them devotional service. So, as we mentioned, to use the New Age mediums as a preaching area, that's fine. As long as you're giving them Krishna consciousness. But to use it at just that, okay, we bring them to mode of goodness and that's enough. So much endeavor you have to put in. So unless you're becoming like a millionaire, what's the point? So if you're not making money and, you know, nobody's becoming Krishna conscious, what's the point? You know, but if you're doing it as a job, you know, it's just like people, you know, their families are all, you know, let's say academics and all that. They've had good degrees. They do the thing. And so to maintain their family, they're an academic in the university. But it's a job. They don't care about the philosophy, the lifestyle, all that. They're devotees. You know, just like you have any other job, you can have that job. So if your job and all that is being a yogi teaching yoga and all, you can do that as a job. But you don't say that I'm preaching. You know, it's just like, you know what I'm saying? You know, you work down at Tesco's, you know, getting, you know, as the what do you call that? The cashier, you know, when you bring all the stuff and they check it and charge it. You know, you don't say you're preaching. You know? Unless everybody comes through, you chant, and they're like this, they all know you're a devotee, you know? And then some people will want to be in your line because you're nice, and some people will want to avoid your line because, you know, like that. So then, you know, like that. But otherwise, and if you just, it's not preaching. So one has to discern. So the Vedas, their business is to uplift people. And so, therefore, they taking that broad range. That's the Vedas. They can do that. We don't have that much time. It's like, we can say, no, but the Vedas are doing it. Yes, but where do the Vedas live? What court do they stay in?
Brahma.
Brahma Loka. And so that means, how long is that Veda there for? 311 trillion years. They have plenty of time to work on all these people. We don't have that much time. So therefore, they're taking care of that, you know, nicely, and we take care of the rest. Does that make sense? So we have to be very careful. Is that, yes, it's fine. It's bona fide. But it's not the highest thing. So we have to discern that it's correct, but it's not the highest. So that's what we're not going for. You know, just be like, let's say you go into a pharmacy, right? And they have thousands of medicines, right? And you're supposed to take a particular medicine. So does that mean because you're taking this medicine, then all other medicines are bogus? Right? That's the thing. No, they're all fine. But it's not your medicine, and it's not the medicine for this age. So that someone's following it, yes, it's good, but they could be getting so much more benefit, because now it's so easy, right? Other ages, the Pancharatrik, the Yagi, all these things, very, very difficult. In this age, just chant. They could easily add it. So in that way, then, all these things are fine. People are doing things, it's fine. We see is it's in line with the Vedic version, so that aspect of it's fine. The parts that are not, like we say, you know, Prabhupada will talk about, let's say, the Christians, that they believe in, you know, they're monotheistic, believe in a singular Lord, that he's supreme. They're not interested in worshiping the demigods, you know, about devotion and all that. That's great. Difficulty is that they're not taking it far enough to develop for love of God. That's the point, right? And then on the other side is that they're following, you know, God's laws and all that. Then what about the don't, thou shalt not kill, right? So that one they're kind of fudging on, you know? And so that means is the parts that are correct, and the parts that are not, they're not. Does that make sense? So therefore, then the Vedas are there, that's correct. Lord Shiva is non-different because he carries those potencies of the Lord. So if he's doing everything through Brahman, Krishna's expanding the Brahman, and through the, based on Brahman, everything's happening. That dynamic aspect of that is Shiva. And so then he's the Brahman feature is there with him. But it doesn't mean it's his. You know? Just like the ambassador goes to another country. They can make policy, they can, you know, show authority and all that, but they're only representing the country. They are not, you know, so you take them as non-different, like the embassy, it's non-different from the country, but at the same time, it's different. You know, it's an embassy. Yes?
This is the beauty of Srila Prabhupada's books, that he doesn't give just partial knowledge.
Yes.
Culture or lifestyle, or just, you know, Nyaya or Pancharatra, he gives us a complete world view.
Yeah, world view. right.
And then because
or even universal cosmic view.
Yes. And then we don't have to go through all that process following the Vedas.
Yes.
Because in that case we have to be highly educated.
Yes.
And our consciousness should be very flexible.
Yes.
To discern, this is for me, this is not for me, this is. But then Srila Prabhupada gives the complete,
yes,
whole everything. So yes, if we study his books, then we understand. Otherwise, we get just some parts, and then we argue on this and that, like that.
Yeah, no, it's always the problem. So that's what he's pointing out here. It says, those who have not researched deeply, persons who have not researched deeply into this subject matter end up forming their own speculative ideas. They make comments such as, Lord Vishnu is God and not Lord Shiva, or Lord Shiva is the Supreme, not Vishnu. So, Lord Shiva is the Supreme as a guru, the Lord represented as a guna avatar, but not outside of that. You know? So you know, that's the that balance, that's something very, very, we only see the acharyas give. That's why we're not interested in studying the scriptures without the acharya's direction. You know, and even if we study scriptures where there aren't a commentary, then we'll understand it in line with how they've given it. So it's such an important point. It has to be based on Shastra, you know, not the internet, you know. And it has to be based on what the acharyas have given us, right? Then we're going to take advantage of, you know, what senior devotees or mature devotees say and how it fits into our life, how we're comfortable with it to apply it. And then the whole thing works really, really nice. But if we don't start with the Shastra, we don't start with the acharyas, you know, we're not taking the direction of those who are more mature, then our decisions in our own life may not work out so well. You know, because it's not enough that, oh, I like this better than that. You have to see why. What's the advantage of it? Because there's going to be something that you don't like. It's just like when you ever noticed when you go to the doctor and they give you a diet, it's always opposite of what you want. It's always, you know. You know, whatever it is you want to eat, that's the thing they say, don't eat.
Otherwise it wouldn't be a diet.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a diet, yes. Can you imagine you coming to the doctor, he takes the phone and says, you need to eat more fried things, you know, lots of butter, lots of ghee, plenty of cream like that. Yeah, okay.
Better
than
ice
cream. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, you have to do a few liters of ice cream a day.
It's the only time you like the dentist.
Yeah, the dentist, because you get to eat ice cream. Yeah. That's always. Yeah, the kids always. They only talk about that part, right? Yeah. Yeah, so this kind of, this is what's meant by liberal. This is what's meant by broad-minded. Your modern liberal is a political position. But the Vedic liberal, it expands, it includes everybody. Because the modern liberal doesn't include everybody. They talk everybody, meaning everybody should do what I say. But then the conservatives say the same thing. You know, so liberals says everybody could do this. And the conservatives, no, we do this. The ones that don't, they're not included. So they're more obvious about it. And so that kind of partisan element, that's the weak part. And on the liberal side, you know, the politically liberal side, then that all-inclusiveness, that's a strong point. But if you check, they're not actually that liberal. You know, because it's on the material platform. How can they be? Right? They're always going to, you know, imperfect senses, make mistakes, be illusioned, you know, cheating, pretend. They're always going to do that. So that's why when it mentions in the Vedas about the liberal devotee, the liberal Brahmin, that it looks similar to the liberals because of their accommodating. But you see is that the conservatives also very much appreciate the devotees. So that's the thing, is devotional service is liberal because everybody can be included. And what's not concluded are those who are inimical towards the Lord. Even if they'll change that opinion, we don't care. Person's an atheist, then they're not eternally damned. They're an atheist, but by association, if they now take up devotional service, they're fine. So that's real liberalism. Like that. The other's material, you know. It's nice, but material. You know? Just like smartest. They're nice, but material. So. Yes.
When it is said that Lord Rama and Lord Shiva different and non-different from Lord Vishnu.
Yes, yes.
But actually, every living entity has the same.
Yes, but in a different capacity. They're all non-different in how everything is non-different. It's all the energies of the Lord. What we're saying here, in the context of kind of like the potencies of the Lord. You know, the power. You know that they're be called Bhagavan. Yes. It can be called Bhagavan. In that they have that potency of the Lord, they represent the Lord, so they're non-different from the Lord. Right? So he's come in this form to do this work. Because the jiva is there. If they say the jiva is theirs, but no, it's the jiva. But the jiva is, how is that working? How is he doing all that? From his potency? No, it's Krishna's potency. He's able to do that secondary creation. He's able to have that intelligence, that focus, that ability to do austerity. You know, that ability of knowledge and detachment, that's all coming from Krishna. Right? They have an inclination, so they're given that opportunity. Right? And so then they're using. So it's all Krishna. So in that way, they're all non-different. Right? Does that make sense? So the part we're saying, oh, I'm not, we're the same. But if we're identifying with the body, that's Krishna. It's not us. Well, see, I'm doing this, so I'm, you know. No, that's being done by Krishna's potency, and you're an energy of Krishna. You happen to be working in that field. So these things are there just to break down this idea of being the Lord or being separate from the Lord. You know? So where it's one, we'll say it's two, and where it's two, we'll say it's one. My body is elect, everything's backwards. You know, when we say that the living entities are an energy of the Lord, and say no, they're illusion, so they're separate. And then you say where they're servant of the Lord, and that, no, though they're the same as the Lord.
Yes.
So that's the point is the philosophy is reversed due to the Ajnana Shakti. Right? Like that. So.
Technically, they're not
jnanis,
they're agyanis.
Yes, they're all agyanis. But, you know, they'll feel bad, so you say that they're, you know, because if you tell them they're agyanis, they won't do the work, as it mentioned here. As you're calling Shiva, it says, it's just like Shiva's, all these aspects are there, he's doing these things on the Lord's behalf, and he's representing the Lord, so he's non-different from the Lord here. And so then he may think, oh, I'm just a, you know, just a, how you say, an individual, you know, personality. How can I do that? But then they're inquiring, you can do all these things. You know, it's just like Hanuman. He's sitting there, and they're thinking, who can jump across? And all the big monkeys are jumping, but no one, you know, I mean, they're all discussing. Someone says, I can jump, you know, this much time, this much or that much, or, you know, all these things. But it's not quite enough. Because I think... Lanka is how far?
800 miles.
So that means
800
yojana. A yojana is no one yojana is 8 miles.
Yes.
So it's 100 yojanas.
Oh, 100.
Yes, 100 yojanas. So someone can jump 60. Someone can jump 80. But no one can jump 100. And then after discussing all that, then I'm not sure. I think it's Jambavan or somebody, you know, who knows the whole scene. He goes, well, what about him? And Hanuman, no, I can't jump anything, you know. And then they start glorifying, you know. And as they glorify, and he's remembering his past, he starts getting bigger and bigger and bigger, you know. Huge monster, Hanuman. And then he's confident. He jumps, right? So you know how in the, you know, general thing you'd hear jump, you'd hear rah. No, you only hear rah. He's gone. He's already there. You don't even hear the ma, you know. You know what's her name? Lunkini? Yeah, she hears the M. Yeah. Yeah, so that's the thing, is that it's a particular view, a particular mentality. Like the Prabhupada is saying, so the pure devotees, they don't see like how the materialists see. Looking at the same thing, they don't see in the same way. They see its connection to the Lord. You know, either directly or indirectly. Right? Like that. So that's the whole thing, is how... you know, how it's a vibhuti of the Lord, or how it reminds them of something, to do qualities of Krishna or pastimes of Krishna. So, they see differently. And so we have to eventually start taking this up. Because otherwise, the other is just too rough and too unpleasant. You know, how long can you be grumpy for? You know? So that's the whole idea is here. You know, you want
to... become tired.
It becomes tired. One of the sub-qualities of the, you know, devotee, non-grumpy. You know, so that way then they can see what's the good and all that. But at the same time, if there's something's wrong, they can be very strong. Like you see, Prabhupada will be very accommodating on certain things, but sometimes he's not very strong. So Thunderbolt and Rose. Yeah. But it's not a matter of memorization. It would be just like this. Let us say you don't know somebody, right? And so you've studied about them. And so it depends upon your memory, you know, how much you remember about what they do or what they've done. No? Like that, you know, and different things and this and that. You know, you can have a history test and like this. But now, if you know the person, is it a matter of memorizing? You know what I'm saying? You know, so for us, it's like we need to memorize all these, you know, different things that Prabhupada says on establishing Krishna as the Supreme Lord and that. But if someone's realized he's the Supreme Lord, there's nothing to memorize. So whatever someone says that's that is opposing that, you can always discuss with it. That's why it says that Uttamadhikari can always defeat the other person in an argument. Always. Right? Yes?
This was at the time of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that was the argument of some of the opposing elements, that they say Raganuga Bhakti is based on memorization. You have to memorize the pastime and the, you know, the flow of Astakala Lila.
Mm.
But then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he said, no. When you chant the holy name, it will be revealed.
Mm.
So we follow the process of Harinam. It's not based on your ability to memorize.
Yes.
Some have it, as you mentioned.
Yes.
And some just don't have it. Doesn't mean they can't practice Raganuga Sadhana.
Yes, yes.
Because it's all based on the mercy of the holy names.
Yes, yes. Because that's the thing, is that if you memorize it, it's simply part of the intelligence. So it can be utilized materially. But when it's realized by Krishna, then naturally that's how you're going to perceive things. Because the intelligence is going to compare. And now you're comparing from the intelligence. Because in the intelligence, that has where the memory is. But now the samskaras are in connection with Krishna. So now you're going to take those samskaras and analyze whatever you're dealing with in the senses based on its connection to Krishna. So then it's going to see. You know, it's just like if I ask you now, okay, what's your daughter doing?
Studying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, so... the thing is, but if I ask someone else, you know, I'll say, ask, you know, Radha Charan, what's your daughter doing? He'll have to think, okay, what does she do? What day of the week is it? Okay, yeah, probably school, so she's probably at school. So that's the difference. When it's revealed, then now that becomes the samskara in the memory. While the other, then it depends upon your material qualification in memory. Is that... yeah. Yes.
The difficulty which we experience practically discussing these topics with the devotees is that revelation, you don't have any leverage on it. You can beg, you can check.
Good
you can
point.
Jump,
good
but,
point.
But it, there's no leverage. It happens whenever it happens. So
yeah.
We can't really force it.
Yeah. Yeah, because we want the control. Yeah.
The 11th canto, there is a verse where it's described how a devotee should associate with other devotees. It's like by chanting, gathering together and chanting the holy name and then developing loving friendship. And in that process, one can give up sense gratification. This Pandava Prabhu shared this verse with me. And in the Parkvat, it's given like Madhvacharya says in this connection, just as one cultivates friendship with the devotees, one should develop a spirit of friendship with the demigods also. So this is the other end of not committing offense, is understanding.
Because they're friends with them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Understanding their purpose, like the statement is, one must cultivate a spirit of friendship towards the demigods who manages the universe on the Lord's behalf. Thus one should live peacefully within this world.
Yeah, because a friendship, there's no worship. It's just respect. Yeah, because they're supplying all the things. So we can do service and all that. Yeah, nice. Yeah. So it's all person.
It,
yes.
It seems that Ramachandra and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, sometimes they were worshipping Shiva, no?
Yeah, no, that's there. Means if you go to the temple, then you respect. Why not?
What is the difference between respect and worship?
Means, see, as we're looking at it, there's rituals and paraphernalia. Then it's worship. But you can have people that are worshiping Shiva that have no respect. They just know if they do this, they get this benefit.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, can you offer a garland to a friend? You know, or sit them down or wash their feet? Can you do that? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So what's the, you know, but is that the same as you take them as the supreme? So therefore, it's just like Madhvacharya is making that point. What we see is that he's already been some time after Shankara. Well, Ramanujacharya, he's dealing directly with, you know, the Buddhists and the Karmis. And so there's nothing introduced there. So his thing is just no demigods, nothing. You know, because otherwise, if there's a little bit, then they'll be gone into that. Just like, you know, Prabhupada, you know, hippies and their hair.
Yes.
You wanted to move in the temple, you shaved up. Nobody in the temple with long hair. They can't live there. Because if that happens, everybody else will want to grow long hair because of their attachment. So it was just a thing. You didn't want to shave up, then you couldn't join. You couldn't live in the temple. You could live at home. You know? So you have to see what's also the mentality of the people and all that. You know. So that's why you get into these things. Then it works very well. You know, let's say you have somebody coming from India, right? And then you say for certain situations, you know, and they're wearing, they're in their family, they wear, you know, dhotis and saris and everything like that. But, you know, there's a certain conference or this or that, you know, you're making a presentation, you know, we'd like you to wear a suit. Yeah, you wear a suit, no problem, because it works for that. When you're in the hotel, you'd be wearing your dhoti. When you go home, you'd be wearing your dhoti. Right? Does that make sense? But now if you take people that they're used to wearing, you know, the Western clothes, and then you're introducing them into the devotional, you know, and that perception. Not saying that the clothes specifically are devotional, just like potatoes aren't devotional. But you're engaging in the Lord's service. So to say, oh, dhotis aren't devotional, that's just an external thing. So are potatoes. So is pasta. So is tomatoes. So is olive oil. It's all material. It's all external. So therefore, if we're taking that, then nothing. Air is external. Right? You don't produce your own air. Well, sometimes you do, but you know, it's not the kind you want to breathe. You know?
Air pollution.
Sorry?
You produce air pollution.
Yes, air pollution. Yeah. Yes. And so, you know, one has to be very, very careful that we can see is, oh no, there's specific attachments here. And so then by allowing those aspects, then people get very distracted. So you have to be very, very careful. What is the mentality of the people? And so then you have to, you know, do. So for certain things that men and women were living in the temple, that's I live like that anyway. You know? So therefore he had temples instead of mutts. Right? Because mutts, it's only men or only women. But temples, then both can live there. And so like that. So you see that what they don't think about. You know? And what they do think about. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's just, and that's why we're imperfect, so why we would make the decision? We leave it up to the acharyas to make the decision. Like that. Does that make sense? And so we have to be able to discern that, like we said before, you know, somebody is intellectual, and they study, they teach, and that's a brahminical qualification. You know, that aspect. Now, the rest of their lifestyle, their philosophy, may not be brahminical. So it's not necessarily we want to hear from such a person just because it's brahminical. Devotees are brahminical, therefore anyone brahminical is devotee. No, that's not the logic. It doesn't always go like that. The syllogism doesn't necessarily go both ways. So therefore then, you're going to see is that they are, what do you call it? You see, is that aspect, they're intelligent, so you're going to deal with them as an intelligent person, you know, as that of brahminical nature, you know. But it doesn't necessarily mean that now we can take advice from them on lifestyle, you know, or philosophy. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. Like you see, generally speaking, when we're talking about the scientists and things like this, everything's by observation from the senses. So it's all pratyaksha. So they're all situated on anamaya, because they're not putting it into a social context. It's just science. So it's anamaya. But at the same time, on another level, because it's intellectual and all that, and knowledge and that kind of detachment from the regular scene and all that, then they're you can classify them on one sense in vijnanamaya, as intellectuals. But you see, as their purpose and goals are all on anamaya, but they like working in the field of vijnanamaya. You know, from the field of vijnanamaya, they want anamaya. So that's the most dangerous. It's, you know, four difference of four positions. You know, so it's that becomes more dangerous. You know, so you have to be able to see what is, you know, the respectable part and things like that, and what's not. So therefore, Lord Shiva's there, he's doing, and so they're there, and he's, you know, it's these things are, you know, proper etiquette and respect, and Lord Shiva's a great Vaishnav, so like this, it's not a problem. But Lord Chaitanya, Lord Ramachandra do daily Shiva puja? No. They come, you know, he goes, Lord Chaitanya goes to Varanasi, then he respects Lord Shiva there. Then, you know, he's at Sri Rangam, what is it? Not Sri Rangam, Rameshwaram. And so there's deities at Shiva. Then he worships him before going across, because he's going to defeat his devotee. You know, he's the Supreme Lord, but he's playing as a human. So therefore, then, he's respecting him in that way. It might be done through the medium of worship. So we don't need to go out and get ourselves a Shiva deity and then do daily worship. No, there's no need. We chant the holy name. Why complicate life? You know? Does that make sense?
Now, it seems that if with time in Krishna consciousness, I realize more and more the importance to know exactly what are the teaching of the Acharya.
Yes.
Because in the beginning we have like the main thing, but after the detail, how to go to a pure devotion. Because if something is, this is missing, we don't achieve pure devotion.
Yes, we can get distracted. That's why then we hear from the Acharyas, then we know what's the standard, what we should be doing. So that's what we're trying to accomplish. So is that, and the point is, the founder Acharya, it's through his perspective and his teachings that you can understand properly the previous Acharyas.
Yes.
It means if we read Rupa Goswami on our own, we won't understand it. It means literally. We may think we will, but it's only because we've heard from Prabhupada that we have some idea.
Yes.
But if being a straight karmi, someone handed you Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, would you understand it? Not at all. Nothing. You know, so that's the whole thing. It's only because we are approaching it through, so we have to keep that connection in that way.
Yes.
If we switch, oh, Prabhupada says this and they say that, and so therefore we take the Acharyas and not Prabhupada, then you don't understand the Acharyas at all. I mean, like nothing. It's sad. You know, that you're respecting Vaishnavas and all that, that's good, but attaining pure devotional service won't happen. You have to approach through your own Acharya. And in this case, you know, we're dealing with the founder Acharya. So it's not just he, founder meaning he started ISKCON. Founder means he's the one by which you understand all the teachings of the Sampradaya. That's the founder Acharya. Just like you'll understand the Alwars by understanding Ramanuja. Like that. So that's how it works. So it's a much deeper position. So, okay. Anucheda 18. Thus Brahma correctly says, Tasmat naham shivo na chanye cha tach chak ye kam sha bhagi naha. I, Shiva, and others are not the Lord, but single portions of his Shakti. Brahma Vaivarta Purana. Right? So here's another. You've quoted Tamasic Puranas before, and here Rajasic Puranas. They're all saying about the Supreme Lord. Mm-hmm. All it is that the compassion of the Vedas are such that they will accommodate people in the different modes to try to engage them, try to uplift them. Mm-hmm. So some in the mode of ignorance, then here's six Puranas you can read. Someone in passion, here's six. Someone in goodness, here's six. Then there's Bhagavatam.
So some years back, those who are from Christian background, they tried to match Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan into the Trinity, with the Trinity.
Really?
Yeah. It was like a...
So Shiva's the Holy Ghost? Because here it was mentioned he's the ghost.
Yeah, that's what I thought when you mentioned it. So the Guna avatars actually match much better than the Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. So Shiva is the Holy Ghost, Vishnu is the Father, and Brahma is the Son.
Yeah. Yeah. Shiva's so the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Oh, so they were trying to do it for a Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan.
Yeah, but if you think it doesn't actually, you have to stretch it.
Yeah, you have to stretch
match
it. Yeah, because otherwise, Brahma's always known as Vishnu's son.
Yeah.
And we just read here from the Bhagavatam that Shiva is the... What was that? There was a page before, right? This Lord is only appearing... His conduct as a ghost is surprising. This great Lord is only appearing to be like a ghost. Bhagavatam 3:14:29. So. Because all these different things come into somebody's head from somewhere. The modes reveal it. It'll be based on some reality, but they don't have a complete understanding, so it gets misapplied. You know? I think it was also... That was part of Greek philosophy. The Trinity aspect.
Yeah.
And so Paul. Paul introduced that because he was attached to Greek philosophy. And so he liked what Jesus was saying. He didn't like the Judaic religion because that wasn't prestigious in the Roman society. And he had an attachment for the academia. And so then he took that Trinity aspect and applied that into Jesus' philosophy without Jesus' religion. Yeah.
Well, their Trinity is... what's that called? Zeus? Then the guy is in the water? And then the guy is under the...
Oh, okay. Okay. That's how it works. Okay, so...
Because they're three brothers, apparently equal. But okay. Is that how you call it?
You have Zeus?
Zeus, yes.
You have Zeus, then...
The guy who is under the ground?
Yeah, that Neptune?
And Neptune is in the water.
Oh, no, Yamaraj. What was his name? Yeah, I can't remember. But yeah, yeah.
But then they fought, and then that what happened.
That's how they worked it out. Yeah. You stay here, and I...
But they are all unhappy, basically.
Yeah, so that's the weakness of... Yeah, so these things, that's why we have to go through the Acharyas. And the founder Acharya specifically, and how he gave the understanding. That's the hermeneutics we use. Otherwise, if we introduce other hermeneutics, we have to remember as the six philosophies are all Vedic. They're all based on Vedic verses. But because of the hermeneutics, you come up with six different philosophies. And they're all material. Right? Only Vaishnava Vedanta, that's spiritual. So we have to always be very, very careful. Great devatas, like, it's also interesting, he's saying that even Vishnu doesn't know. He's talking about the glories of Shiva, says even Vishnu doesn't know. That's because Shiva's glories are his glories, and even he doesn't know his glories because as thousand-mouthed Ananta, he's been describing since time immemorial, and he still can't describe all the glories, they're unlimited. So that's the angle from which it's being described. Great devatas, like Brahma and Shiva, and even the goddess of fortune and I, are simply parts of his parts. Balaram spoke thus the verse. Right, so Balaram, he's saying that even we're part. Oh, if it's only one verse, then they say thus spoke the verse?
Oh. You can use the verse.
Okay. No, so. Riti. So that means, that's why Prabhupada describes Balaram as the supreme personality of servitor Godhead. So that means from Balaram all the way down, all the other aspects of the Lord are all servants. Right? So Balaram, you know, so that's all the things. Then from Sankarshan and the Purushavatar, they're all servants. So then all the other Gunavatars, Leelavatars, everything, they're all servants. Riti, having concluded the discussion on the three Gunavatars of the Lord, and thus concluding the Adhyayana on the Svamsas of the Paramatma, the next Adhyaya elaborately describes Jiva-tattva, Vibhinamshas of the Lord. The definition of the Jiva is given in the next Anucheda. Jamatri Muni defines the Jiva as, quote, the consciousness-giving substance, spreads through the body and is made of knowledge and bliss. Each jiva has its own identity and is separate from other jivas. It is very small and eternally pure. They always bring up this point of small. Adhyayana 2.
He's an Acharya and Sri Shankara.
Okay, after Ramanuja.
I think after
Ramanuja. So he would have been between Jiva Goswami and Ramanujacharya. Adhyaya Prakashika. Having elaborated on the swamsas of the Paramatma, The Vibhinamsas, the jivas, are discussed next. The primary characteristics of the jiva are described based on the following verses of Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda, 6:2-6:34-37. The jiva is the shelter of knowledge, has the quality of knowledge, is conscious and beyond prakriti. It has no birth and no change. It has its own individual form. The jiva is small, eternal, and spreads out. It has knowledge and bliss and the sense of I. It does not decrease, is the knower of the body, and is different from other jivas eternally. The jiva cannot be burnt. I didn't quite see it. I thought I said, the jiva cannot be burnt out. The jiva cannot be burnt, cut, moistened, or dried out.
Jiva probably cannot be burnt out.
Yeah. It cannot be destroyed. Endowed with these qualities, the jiva is subordinate to the Lord. The jiva is the sound M in Om. The jiva is the secondary knower of the field, but always subordinate to the Lord and no one else. So it very nicely describes everything in those few verses from the Padma Purana. You know, because it shows how his individual, he's knowledge, he spreads out, but he's always an individual. I guess that's the next step, right? You were thinking, hey, when is this going to be over? Then you get this one.
Bang.
Yeah. First you get... You
know. That smell of the bang, then that's it.
Then the yelling of the people that are there, right? These qualities stated above are detailed for the rest of the adhyaya based on explanation given by Jamatri Muni. The Atma is different from the body. You found?
Yes, it is in 1370 to 1450.
1370.
1450.
Okay, so that's kind of like, that's just before Chaitanya the Acharyas. Yeah, and then, okay. Yeah. The Atma is different from the body, which is the field of knowledge. Because it is the observer, ikshita, a knower, prakashaka, and knows itself, swadrik. Right, so that's how he's in knowledge, or the knower, like that, right? Insentience is rejected in the Atma, because the Atma is beyond the three states of awakeness. Wakeness? Generally, wakefulness is used.
Wakeness, if I would... Russian, I would translate it like that.
Wait. Yes. But we would probably take, you know, if you're saying wakeness means after, you know, how you say the soul moves on and they nicely dress up grandfather and put him in the nice box and everything, that's wakeness. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
You know, because that's called a wake. No, I'm just saying that's probably how I would take it.
Maharaj, awakeness is the state or time of being awake, whereas wakefulness is daily occurring, the state of consciousness.
Wakeness is when you're awake. That's
okay.
Consistently being awake.
Okay, so wakefulness means it's something that goes on in the day, like wakehood. Then wake. Okay. Okay. Wakeness, okay. Just the of being. I mean, sorry, not the hood. The wakefulness is wake is say wakehood. While
it's the same. They're synonyms. Wakeness and wakefulness.
Yes, but he's saying it's indicating just the reoccurring element of it, and the other one is meaning the state of being awake. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
Okay. Wakeness. Okay. Great.
Wakefulness is in generally used. Yeah. When you are not able to sleep, and also like that has a negative consequence. Wakeness is like the state of being awake. It has that.
Okay. Wakeness, sleep, and deep sleep, which are the functions of the material intelligence, and is conscious always as opposed to matter, which is unconscious. Having stated that the jiva is different from the gross and subtle body and is a knower, next the cause for the conditioning of the jiva is explained. In a purified state, the intrinsic shakti of the jiva will give him knowledge of his real self. Pratyak jnana. But when the jiva becomes averse to the Lord and turns his attention towards maya, he becomes illusioned and covered by the avidya shakti and obtains material knowledge. Right? So this is the apple part. No?
I didn't think that.
No, it's just I remember it being explained that because then you know, how you say? What's it? Adama and Havyavati. So then when they eat the fruit from the tree, then they become covered by material consciousness.
Avidya.
Yeah. So that's the point. They become covered by vigya. So they're saying, you know, the whole thing is, oh, we're naked and all that. I mean, before it meant that, you know, it meant that they were pure. It didn't mean that they had no clothes.
Well, Christians said, all the pictures saying, you know, the fig leaves, they figured it out, they're going to cover themselves with the fig leaves.
So that means they ate a fig.
No, they ate the apple, but the figs are
where
they are also.
Who knows what they ate?
They ate something.
Yeah, they ate the fruit. Actually, in Hebrew it says fruit. It doesn't say, you know, specifically
apple.
So it could be fig.
Could be fig.
Could be fig.
Could be durian.
Could be pear.
Olives.
Olives.
Yeah. So, but the point was is that
so Christians think that before they were like completely naked, like innocent, like kids. So then they covered with the fig.
Yes, but the whole point is then what consciousness is that? That's a consciousness of enjoying. Otherwise, if they don't have that consciousness, why would they think that?
Yes.
So it's still the material consciousness that they're being covered by. Like that.
Because the knowledge they gained, apparently, it's not pure knowledge. It's knowledge duality, means good
yes.
and bad.
Yeah, so that's there.
That's material knowledge.
Yeah, material knowledge. Because spiritual is what's favorable, what follows the line of rasa of favorable towards the Lord and what doesn't. Yeah. So there's always going to be that aspect, but that's not duality because it's all in connection with the Lord. But when you separate from the Lord, then that's itself duality. And then within that, because it's the nature of duality, it has duality within itself. You know, Satkaryavad.
Satkaryavad,
yeah. So then, yeah. Yeah. I would, yeah, yes.
Fig leaves will be the origin of bikini.
Yeah, the fig leaves are the original bikini.
That's what they had to cover
themselves. Okay.
And you said Adama, then first time it strike to me, it's in Sanskrit, Adama means low class person.
Yeah, Adama and Havyavati. That's Bhavishyapura.
Yeah.
You know, and then with time, because you follow the rules of that Bharat Muni gives on how Prakrit gets degraded, the language, then you end up with Eve and Adama becomes Adam. You know.
It's not so fancy name, according to the meaning is not so fancy.
No, it's not so fancy. Eve is a little better.
Gives the essence.
Yes, gives the essence. Okay. Srila Sridharaswami states the following in this regard. Because the jiva, saha, embraces ignorance, ajam, caused by maya, ajaya, it serves jushtan, the body and senses, gunan, or identifies with them as his self. After that, tad anu, with its qualities such as bliss, ananda, hidden, apeta, bhagaha, It adopts similar qualities and attains bhajati, samsara, mritum. Because it gives up that aspect of ananda. Because if you're situated in ananda, then you're always on the same platform. So when you leave the body, you'll continue in that consciousness. Mm-hmm. But because they give up that, they've accepted the external. So that's not ananda. And so therefore the consciousness is always in the external. And because you don't get any taste from it, you're constantly changing the position of what you're concentrating on the material platform. That gives you a different material body. Yeah. Yeah. So focus on Krishna, go back to God. Good plan.
Yeah.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Shri Prabhupada ki jai.